It's weird because it like kind of feels like it's supposed to take place in the past.
In the past, two periods.
But also, they all have cell phones. And at one point, Barbara Gordon falls for the trick of like, "Oh, Jim won't phone me," and it's like, "Oh, he's on a stakeout and his phone ran out of juice."
Barbara Gordon was in this too.
So yeah, like, and young, she's super, super.
Wait, cool. So how could Batgirl be older than Bruce Wayne?
Am I talking about Barbara Gordon, like
Batgirl?
Who's Jim Gordon's wife?
That's not Barbara Gordon. That's some other Gordon. I don't know. Barbara Gordon is Jim's daughter.
Like, okay, that's what I meant. So I thought her name was Barbara.
Maybe Batgirl's not in it. Batgirl is Barbara Gordon.
Because they're just like two people probably fuck a lot.
Who? Batman and Batgirl?
No, Jim Gordon and Baby Girl.
Who plays Jim Gordon?
Ryan Atwood. That's too many. Benjamin McKenzie. Also the first person to ever play yeah, and he's the first person to ever play Jim Gordon and Batman, because he did the voice of Batman on some Justice League thing.
What a interesting piece of trivia.
It is. And also he's on that one show. But
what show?
What's that one show where he was a cop? It's the one that you always said you liked.
Terriers?
No.
No.
It's a TNT show.
TNT The Shield?
No.
No, what are you talking about?
Ben McKenzie. Southside?
Oh, Southland. I've never watched it. I've heard it's excellent.
Okay, that's...
I've never watched it.
Isn't it crazy that he's 38?
Oh, dude, Donald Logue is Bullock.
Yeah, he's excellent, too.
See, I didn't think this show sounded like something I would like, but maybe I should watch it, because sometimes... Because now all the people who I would expect to like it haven't liked it, and now I'm worried that, like, either I'm weird and will end up liking this thing that most people don't, or I really am truly this, like, idiot contrarian who's like, well, now that everyone doesn't like the thing I want to watch, I want to like it. So I hope that's not me. Dude, Sean Pertwee's Alfred?
Yeah, and I like his Alfred more than I like Michael Caine's.
He is the son of John Pertwee, who was the third Doctor Who.
And also invented Pertweeter.
What's Pertweeter?
The predecessor of Twitter.
Pertweeter.
It's in the name.
Yeah, good one. So Barbara Keene, is that who you're talking about? Is Gordon's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Erin Richards.
She kind of looks like an older version of Taylor Swift.
She looks like you could
but not
open
like just a horrible
a
human
tin
being.
Can with her chin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you're talking in the kitchen, woman. Quit ruining our sausage fest. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Sausage Cast. Welcome to the Geek Stampede Comics.
Joey's cooking Johnsonville brats.
When I was younger, for some reason I thought the name they shouted in that commercial was Charlie Parker. So I remember I said that one time, and my friend Bernard just started like crying. He's like, that commercial would be so much better if it was like blues legend Charlie Bird Parker cooking Johnsonville brats.
Also, back up. You know somebody named Bernard?
Yeah, Bernard Rodney. He's a great guy.
He sounds like it. He's hilarious. I like his name.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be like knowing somebody named Bartholomew.
Yeah. I also think it's funny that somebody I was friends with in high school now works for a think tank.
Really?
I don't know what that means.
Is this like the brain in the vat philosophy scenario?
What?
You've never taken a philosophy class, have you?
I took one, but the professor, I'm pretty sure, would see now because he kept showing us the same Calvin and Hobbes strip over and over again.
That'll happen. That's probably on purpose, because philosophy classes are fucking stupid.
Richard Kind is in this show. We're talking about Gotham.
Gotham.
Andrew Stewart Jones is...
What's your favorite show Christmas on the Fox Network? Gotham.
Good one.
Get it? Because
G-O-T-H-A.
No, it's actually, it's like, and Renee Montoya is in it too, which is
cool. Far Out. Is she like a character who actually gets to do something every once in a while? Like, so she's actually like a character?
She's like one of the good cops, which is cool. Her
but and, like she actually gets some screen time though, because Renee Montoya is an awesome character.
She's one of the like the main cast. There's a lot of, like, there's clunky dialogue, and like I said, clunky edits and just weird fucking cuts and stuff. And I didn't like her until, like, halfway through the second episode, and I was like, she's fucking cool.
So have there been, like, a million, like, winks of, like,
oh, yeah.
There's some kind
it's
of,
very
like,
winky
Joker out there causing trouble.
It's
what kind of
no,
Joker is
they,
doing this?
They haven't done the Joker.
What a clown.
They've done, like, the Edward Nygma, like, quit speaking in riddles.
Riddle.
And then they do the Penguin one, and, like, I don't know, like, there's some stuff.
Why is Penguin?
It's...
Oswald...
He's actually
Oswald
really good,
Oswald Cobblepot.
He's really good, and it's like a cool, like...
He's just a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw him in something.
He was in. I know he's in The Walking Dead, but he's like a really he's like a psychotic penguin kind of thing. Like that's how they're pulling it. And like I say, Alfred's like kind of a dink. Like he's just like he's very protective and stuff.
Cool.
But yeah, there's lots of like. I mean, it's clunky as shit. It's a network show.
Or is he? Like I'm hoping the show will be mostly be about the Gotham Police Department.
It mostly is about, and it's weirdly procedural too.
Oh, cool! Well, like, I'll give it a try.
Like the actually the second episode had like oh I can't remember her name, but she's in a bunch of stuff, and it's like they're just a story, like a kind of a procedural about like oh there's these people like abducting kids, and it's weird, and it, like. Because, like, the show starts off with the murder of, spoiler, Bruce Wayne's parents. And, yeah, and, like...
Oh, dude, it's the guy who created Rome and the Mentalist who made who's developed this show. That's kind of cool.
And, I like the overarching kind of thing is, like, Jim Gordon being like, I'm going to find out who killed your parents. And then...
I hope they never find out, because finding out who kills Batman's parents, like, ruins a lot of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work if you know
who I mean, it was Jack Napier, but... That was an 89 Batman joke. Reference, not a joke.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Once.
That also ruins the Joker, though, giving him
an overdose. Yeah, it's really dumb. But, yeah, I don't know. It's worth a watch. You might kind of... There was parts when I fucking rolled my eyes, but there's enough good that I watched the second episode. Well, the second episode's actually almost better.
I'll stop being bitter and I'll try it out.
More importantly, you should watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
The league is back, too.
Yes, and it's just
I've seen the first three. It so far is not the best season. The first episode was
really episode four is another Raffi Dinnerati episode, and it's really
But, like, the season premiere where they...
excuse me. Where Ted dies?
Yeah, that was weak. There was way too many guest stars. Like, every time they get guest star in the league, I'm like...
The biggest problem with the guest stars is that they're football players and they can't fucking act.
Well, it's just also stupid. But ridiculous. But the second episode was better, with baby Jeffrey juicing was pretty funny.
Yeah. Very funny.
And the one after that, the height supremacist, it felt a little forced, but it was still
They do have a lot of episodes that are basically built on a pun, which is funny.
Well, it's very similar to Seinfeld in that way, right? When they have a conversation, it's just like, oh, he's a hand talker. Oh, and then whole episode about the hand talker. This one's about a height supremacist, which was kind of cute.
It did. Now, in fairness, in the first episode, it did have J.J. Watt, who's the best football player.
I would say the best thing about this season so far has been Ruxin. Mm-hmm. And Ruxin's not usually my favorite character, but like the whole thing of him getting sent to Korea and being on the webcam and like on delay, that whole joke, as obvious as it was, made me laugh. And also Andre peeing into the water fountain was pretty funny.
The whole Teflandre thing.
Teflandre.
And then like
him. But the problem with that joke punishment. Was the payoff for the joke is I don't know who that guy is. But the guy who's feeding him lines and giving him fantasy
football. Oh, see, and he's like a football.
Yeah. So, like, that's the first time on the show where, unless you know who that is, the joke doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the premise, I get it. Like, he's like
a fantasy football guy kind of thing.
The joke doesn't really work unless you know who that is. Like, most of the football player jokes, it doesn't matter. It could be any football player. Mm-hmm. So, it doesn't really matter who they are.
And the weird thing is that I want to say it's like season three, there's that guy who's like a fantasy football expert who, like, has the radio show, but they. Say Explain who that. He is right off
like,
the bat.
Like, there's obviously the part where he, like, goes out of his... out of the thing, and he's just like, oh my god, they're onto us. And it cuts to him, and that's supposed to be the punchline when you go, oh, someone's feeding him lines.
Oh, it's Jake Lightly,
I don't know who that is. Why is that funny? I've never heard of this man in my life.
That's fair.
So, this is the first time I felt like this show didn't... Like, normally you don't need to know anything about football to enjoy the league.
Yeah.
And this season, so far, I felt like more than before, the jokes were staler. But, I mean, we're still early in the season. And I still love the show, so...
Don't worry about having to know football for episode four.
I wish they would just do a show about Raffi and Dirty Mandy.
I don't know if I like it as much as last season's, but it's still so stupid. Cool. It's like it's Raffi and Dirty Randy's origin story.
I have a story to tell you about Clean Randall. my type of nerdiness.
Yes.
So I was listening to a Kirby Crackle song.
And I mean, you're there already.
Yeah, but like. How I am a nerd, but also my finger is not exactly on the pulse of what's popular. Because in this one lyric in the song, it's a song about watching marathon TV shows. And at one point, the line has to do with like wonder where, like sit on the couch and wonder where Carl went. And in my head, like not even for a second did I assume they were talking about Walking Dead. I was like, oh, maybe they must be talking about Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I was sure. I was like, oh, cool, an Aqua Teen reference. And then I thought about it for a minute. And went, Well, where did he go? Well, Carl's always there. He's like one of them. Then I went, oh, they're talking about that fucking zombie show, aren't they? God damn it.
Because I mean, I know you haven't watched the show ever, but...
I know the meme of Carl always wandering off.
Because it's like...
parents in the world.
Yeah, because she's always like, I just want to do what's best for my kid. And then like 2 seconds later, his kid's just like wandering into the field.
Did she die on the show? Because she died in the comic.
Yeah. Okay. And it was great.
The
weird thing is, like, I don't necessarily think she was a bad actress, but that character was so just shitty and so poorly written, like a lot of that show, but she was, like, just an okay actress.
Right.
Whereas, like, Cuddy from The Wire, his character is poorly written, but he's Cuddy from The Wire, and he's a good actor, so might be
somebody
a little bit
from The Wire is on...
Cuddy. Like, the boxer guy?
Right. He's on what?
He's on The Walking Dead.
Is he?
He's
I can't
Tyrese.
Picture Cuddy, then.
He's Tyrese.
Which one's Cuddy? Which season is he from? Was he the guy who gets released from prison and then he like goes, okay, the guy who you think you're not sure if he's going to go straight or if he's going to get back into drugs.
But
that was a great character.
Mm-hmm. He's a really good actor too. And also the other guy, what's his name? Not Avon Barksdale, the other Barksdale. That's also
D'Angelo Barksdale.
D'Angelo Barksdale is in it too now.
On The Walking Dead?
Yeah. He's also in The Waterboy. He's the receiver from The Waterboy.
Is he?
Yep.
I seen him in something else a while back, and I was like, hey, it's D'Angelo Barksdale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
But yeah, watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, I will.
There's more Terry, so. Which is like, he's the
Terry
best.
Terry likes to keep it, what does he say?
When
he's working out.
When he's working out and he falls asleep, and it's like, tired Terry gets after it.
Gets after it.
Because I did 12 chin-ups on muscle memory
since
alone.
Since we're already on TV cast, I might as well talk some more about TV then. Because
please.
I watched the pilot and the first 3 episodes of what might be my new favorite show on television.
Is it How to Get Away with Murder?
No, because that is the worst-looking show I've ever seen. It looks like... My sister described it as Grey's Anatomy with lawyers. Is that the one?
I don't know. It's always she's like the professor and she's like teaching them some weird class.
No, I don't think it's that then, maybe. What's
not to sound like I'm only looking at race, but it's the black girl in it.
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
I don't even know either.
I'm trying to think if that's the show though, because my sister was telling me about this show and I watched the trailer for it and I was like, what the hell is this? And she's like, I'm like, this looks pretty bad. She's like, yeah, it's gonna be like Grey's Anatomy with lawyers. And I was like, that sounds fucking horrible. Anyway, though, but no, so it's not that. It is Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories. So it's Tim and Eric.
I should have known it was a show I'd never heard of.
But it's you and Tim and Eric though.
Yeah.
Tim Heidecker and Eric
Yeah.
And so like they have their like sketch show, Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job. And before that they had that show Tom Goes to the Mayor, the animated show. And then they've also done a bunch of YouTube shows like Tim's Kitchen Tips, which is amazing, by the way.
Don't they also have like the Billion Dollar Movie or whatever?
Yeah, Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie. And then there was a show, they did a podcast / a web series called On Cinema at the Cinema with Tim Heidecker. And they've done other stuff like that. But this new show is called Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories. And it's Tim and Eric making horror shorts, but they're Tim and Eric shorts. So a lot of Tim and Eric bits are almost horror anyway because they're so strange. That they're like they're funny, but they're also unsettling in a weird kind of way. So this pushes the unsettling. So there's still moments that are very funny if you like Tim and Eric humor. And I love Tim and Eric because they're so not for everybody. Like Tim and Eric, there's nobody who can watch Tim and Eric and go, it was okay. You're either gonna love Tim and Eric, you're gonna hate Tim and Eric. Or you might have my reaction, which was at first like, I think I like this, but I need to watch more. And then eventually just like, yeah, okay, no, I fucking love Eric. This is amazing. But, so Bedtime Stories is them, like, as almost like if David Lynch created The Twilight Zone, but with Tim and Eric comedy in it. So each episode is like an 11-minute weird horror short. So the first one is called Hole, where Eric moves in next door to Tim, and it's this like weird David Lynch-y blue velvet strangeness in suburbia story. The second episode is called Toes, which stars Bob Odenkirk as a doctor who specializes in removing people's toes, which in a normal horror short, the twist would be like the dark secret he has is that he cuts people's toes off for them. But in this, that's like establishes what he does. His dark secret is what he does with the toes. And like, and M. Emmett Walsh has this character in that episode, and it's one of the weirdest and most awesome things I've ever seen. And then the third episode it was funny, but it was not horror at all. It felt like just like a Tim and Eric bit for 11 minutes. So it was funny, but it's Tim and Eric and Zach Galifianakis are called the Bathroom Boys. Mm-hmm. And so they, it's like a, including like credits for a sitcom called the Bathroom Boys, where there are three bathroom attendants who have turned the bathroom into their apartment. And every time someone's coming down the hallway, they have to like turn it back into the bathroom before they get in there. And they end up having a triple date in the bathroom. Like, it's really weird, but also quite funny if you find Tim and Eric funny. But I think right now, as far as horror television, like, it's my favorite scary show to watch. I love it. You could, I can honestly see getting nightmares from watching like Hole and Toes.
See, I don't like horror. That's why October is always a tough month for me.
You might like this because it is funny enough. And like the horror isn't just like, it's never like, oh, there's a monster jumping up, it's scary. It's always just like, this is fucked up and like unsettling. Like,
yeah.
Like David Lynch kind of horror.
See, but then like you remember VHS, and I remember the one with like the couple, and they're in the hotel.
Yeah, that was the best
and one. See, and you said that it was like really unsettling, and just like, yeah, like that didn't bother me.
No, I mean that one was unsettling. That's what I liked about it. But
see,
the one that scared you though was
the
like
one that scared me was like
monster.
The succubus lady.
Yeah, that was a good one though.
But just because of like when he breaks his ankle falling the stairs, and then she like crawls out. Ooh.
Yeah, ugh. It's right. It still scares him. He's
but,
being chilled right now.
See, and I never saw VHS 2. And then VHS 3 is like
out.
Coming out.
It's called VHS Viral, and it doesn't look as good either.
I've heard that it's basically like comedy shorts, so I really want to see it.
Well, because VHS 2 has cool shorts in it, but they're not as they're way more polished, which is not as good. Because one of the beauties of the first one is how like they feel like they could be found footage things.
Yeah.
Right? The ones in 2 are some good shorts, but they're a little too polished, and the framing sequence for 2 is so bad because they try to make it make sense and like give it a plot, and it's just stupid.
Yeah. But you know what I always say about that? Eat my shorts.
You do say that. Well, let's talk about some comics. I only have 3 things that came out this week.
Yeah, me too.
Are any of these your pick?
No, this is. Okay, I didn't even get to read the middle one, which sucks.
All right, well, I won't spoil it, but I'll talk about these 3, and then I have a few other things to talk about, and then we have some Newsarama stuff we can talk about.
Yay!
So,
we can talk about
I bought a DC comic, Ryan.
Are you feeling ill?
Well, I did have this new pizza recipe, so I kind of have some...
Before you made this pizza, did you purchase a license to ill?
No, but I was illing in the name of.
What's the time? It's time to get ill. Said, what's the time? It's time to get ill.
Ryan, this is some seriously ill communication that you're dropping here right now. That's right. Okay, anyway. I bought
license to ill.
I said that one already.
Oh.
You said that already.
I thought I did.
No, I said... Oh, you said license to ill, and then I said illing in the name
there
of.
There you go.
Yeah.
Illing in the name is good.
Thank you. I always say grilling in the name of when I'm barbecuing.
Nice!
Thank you.
I'm going to get a license to grill.
Like Guy Fieri.
Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to pills. I'm not addicted to pills.
All right.
Just thought I'd say it.
Anyway, so I bought Gotham Academy number 1 by Becky Cloonan and Brendan Fletcher with art by Carl Kerschel, whom I'm a big fan of. And it's so not a DC book. Like, if not for the fact that there's like references to the fact that they're in Gotham and the Bat Signal is there and Bruce Wayne shows up at one point, this could easily have not been a superhero, like not a DC comic book, which is, I mean, that is a compliment.
I assume.
The art is excellent, and it's all new characters and like a new concept that doesn't feel like we've seen it a million times before. I just hope DC gives it enough issues for it to find its audience.
Yeah.
Because its audience is not the people coming to the shop. Like, it'll take at least a trade or two before they can get it into the hands of the people who should be reading it. But I don't have enough confidence that DC will have the patience to do that. Like, I think we might get 6 or 8 issues and then they'd wrap it up, which would be too bad, because it's pretty good.
Although I almost feel like having Gotham in the name and then having, like, these kind of silhouettes of bats is enough to draw in some people.
Right, but those people will buy the first couple and then they'll be like, what the hell is this?
There's no Batman.
It's all nice and it's not, like, horrifically offensive and there's no tits.
And most importantly, no grifter.
Right, exactly. But it's just like, it was fun, and it was exciting, and it was adventurous, and the art was really good, and it was intriguing, and some of the characters were cool. And
I was going to pick it up. Maybe I'll pick it up next week.
Yeah, I think it's worth checking out to see. Like, I think I need to give it at least one more, because it doesn't really, it's not long enough, right? It's 20 pages is not long enough to establish a new series.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next comic, which they recognize that 20 pages isn't enough, so this one's now gone to 40 pages. I don't know how many, it's not 40 pages of story, but like, it is. They even say in the first page of the letter column, like, yeah, we're expanding our back pages section because it turns out that we need more room, so we're going to 40 pages every month.
Cool.
And that is The Fade Out, number two, by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
Is it as good as the first?
Better.
Ooh, I got chills.
Yeah, no, the second one really gives you a lot more background on some of the characters and, like, really get into this world and understand our main character and his partner.
Okay.
But, it's really good.
I bought my comics on Wednesday. Today is Friday.
We're recording it today.
I only read three comic books, so.
Yesterday
and for some reason,
Thursday.
That's not one of them.
Today it is Friday.
No, tomorrow's
Tomorrow
Saturday.
Is Saturday, but Sunday comes afterwards.
Which one will I take?
I don't want this weekend to end. It's Friday. Gonna get down on Friday.
Yeah, I don't know the words. Okay, wait, whoa. It's Monday?
No.
Oh.
It's Friday.
It's the weekend. The weekend started.
Yeah.
Because we're done work
on
Friday. Thursday.
No, we're not.
Oh.
Friday.
But
you told me you had a bad day at work. You were at work.
Yeah.
Today it is Friday.
But I had a bad day at work.
You had a bad day.
Please, go on.
I don't know the words of that song.
I just like, hey,
just
to turn it around. Oh, you know what I was getting confused with too? Was that other song? I think it's like the One Tree Hill song. It's like, I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. It's like Gavin DeGraw. I don't know. Well, I know exactly why I know it, but.
Is it on UOC?
No, because Cakes always sings it. The OC was California.
All I know about the OC music was there's that episode where they had that song that was in the SNL sketch.
Yep.
Which was a parody of that song.
The theme song is the best because it's like we've been on the run, driving in the sun, looking out for number one. See, they rhymed. California, here we come, right back where we started from. And then they just keep going, California, and then they show Sandy Cohen with his crazy eyebrows. Sandy Cohen is cool. He was in a David Lynch movie. I can't remember what his real name is. Peter
Sandy
something.
Sandy Cohen? Is that his name on the show?
Yeah. Peter. He's got crazy eyebrows.
Peter Gallagher.
There we go. Peter Gallagher.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's in a David Lynch movie. I can't remember which one.
I should know that because I've seen all of David Lynch movies a bunch of times, but
he's the best character in the OC because he's always right. He's the most moral human being, except for once when he kisses another woman. Spoiler. But it's his like high school or college sweetheart.
I don't remember him being in a David Lynch movie. Which one are you talking? Are you sure?
He's in not Mulholland Drive, maybe?
I don't think so.
Or maybe what's the one with Bill Pullman?
Lost Highway?
Maybe in that
he's
one.
He's not in that. Or Mulholland Drive. Or Wild at Heart.
What's the other?
Or Blue Velvet.
What's the other ones from the 90s?
The Straight Story.
Or maybe.
Not in that.
Maybe what's Inland Empire? Maybe?
Nope.
I
don't think he's in a David Lynch movie.
I swore he's in a David Lynch movie.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe he's in Twin Peaks. I don't know.
He's not in Twin Peaks. I remember that.
Hey, was that tweet today? About, like, are they bringing Twin Peaks back or something?
I don't know, but both Mark Frost and David Lynch tweeted at the exact same time. Hello,
see,
Twitter friends. That gummy like is where they come back in style.
Is that, like, a Twin Peaks thing?
Yeah, it's one of the things that the Man from Another Place says in the second or third episode.
Maybe I should watch that.
It's one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
Do you think I'd like it, or do you think I'd fucking hate it?
I think you'd like it. Like, it's weird, because people who don't even like Lynchy craziness really like Twin Peaks.
See, I know, like, this is going to sound really, like, really mean. I know people who don't like good things because they're not, like, smart. And they like Twin Peaks. So I think I could follow.
Twin Peaks.
And that's, like, my big reservation with Twin Peaks is that, like, I'm not smart enough to understand any of it.
Don't worry, because you can't understand it, Twin Peaks. Like, there's nothing to understand. Like, ultimately, it doesn't. The second the show reveals who killed Laura Palmer, it goes downhill. Because the point of the show was never who killed Laura Palmer. Who killed Laura Palmer was just, like, the concept that they hang the premise of the show on. The show is actually, like, a soap opera pastiche. And it's all about these weird characters in this weird town. And, like, a lot of Lynch stuff, it's more about how, like, even something that seems very, like, normal and all-American has, like, something horrifically sinister lurking under the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most of the show is about. It's also really funny.
Is the horrible thing Cthulhu?
No.
Well,
no,
then I'm
but
not.
There is some supernatural lost. Type stuff.
Ooh.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I don't know the guy's name. I was going to be like that one guy from Supernatural.
Like demonic possession, but not really demons or possession, but like alternate
so
universe
like,
kind of stuff.
Oh,
it's pretty cool.
Ooh, I'm into that.
Yeah.
Like maybe.
Dude, it's worth watching it for no other reason than like stylistically, it's incredible.
Yeah.
But and all the characters are so awesome. Like you can't watch Twin Peaks and not love Sheriff Harry S. Truman and Agent Dale Cooper. You will love
Agent Dale Cooper is Kyle MacLachlan.
Kyle MacLachlan.
He's going to be in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What's he going to be? Please tell me.
He's the guy. The girl. The like the computer hacker girl. Because every show has one. It's like her dad. Because there's like all these weird reveals about her. Towards the end of the season, and then I guess he's playing her father.
Okay.
And it's going to be cool, because he's cool. Lucy Lawless was in the first episode, too.
Really? Is she a Cylon?
No. What?
Spoiler for Battlestar Galactica. Lucy Lawless plays a Cylon in that show. Spoiler alert, sorry. But
no, she's just a person. She dies. Sorry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But she's still in Parks and Rec. She's Ron Swanson's wife.
Oh, really?
I saw a guy yesterday that looked exactly like Ron Swanson. Even had that like unimpressed Ron Swanson look. It wasn't my dad. His unimpressed look, which I'm very familiar with, doesn't look like Ron Swanson.
My dad is a lot like Ron Swanson.
There was a weird time in my life where like I couldn't actually figure out what my dad's face looked like. Like I'd never be able to describe what his face looked like because all it is mustache to me.
Like I will admit that when I picture your dad, I mostly just picture like a set of glasses. And
like,
mustache.
Does he have a big nose or a small nose? What,
I don't
like,
know.
Are his eyes? Does he have big eyes or small eyes? Or
I just see like sweatpants, mustache, glasses, and sometimes a hat.
Sometimes when he's been working outside.
Yeah, he's got a hat on, but yeah, he's sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, and usually he's tooting.
Far out. Well, I got one
did you say far out?
I did.
Wow.
I got one other comic dimension that came out this week.
Is this your favorite?
No.
Do you not have a favorite?
I do have a favorite, but it didn't come out this week. But it kind of did.
Okay.
I'll explain when I get to it.
Okay.
It is Ryan Brown's God Hates Astronauts number 2.
Just to clarify, I'm not Ryan Brown. I'm Ryan Head.
Artisanally written and drawn for the page by the ever-virtuous Ryan Who Called the Cops Brown, mm-hmm. made to be in glorious color by Jordan Don't Call Me Jordan Boyd, slammed with letters in the proper order by Chris Crank Frank and Ryan Brownie Brown, fanciful design elements by the ever designful Thomas the Nickname Quinn, cover A by the easily confused Ryan Where Are My Pajama Bottoms Brown, cover B by the ultra amazing Jim Street Angel Rug, Impossiclips Now backup art by Alejandro the Brute Bruzes, Goofin' with Gnarled art by Brad Glorpgum McGinty and Jordan Taco Sauce Boyd, and a radically gnarly pinup by Buster I Can't Believe I Ate the Whole Thing Moody.
Well, that's just silliness.
This is the best comic in the world. So it starts with 3D Ghost appearing to introduce you to the new issue and bring you to a flashback of NASA in the 70s.
You do that too. I've called them NASA so many times.
And we just see a flashback to Buzz Aldrin on the moon. and Seal Armstrong, and they're playing golf by hitting a crab on the moon, which pisses off the space crabs, and there's a crab blitzkrieg that attacks them. Yeah. And then we cut back to the modern era, and also the anti-mugger, who's a guy who has a third arm in the middle of his chest for punching muggers' heads off. At the end of the issue, we found out that whenever he's sleepwalking, he becomes a mugger. Yeah, because he becomes the mugger when he's sleepwalking and he goes around mugging people.
Does he punch them with his hand? Out of his chest?
Yeah, also, by the way, this one girl who gets saved by the mugger tries to like have a fake mugging so she can meet him again. So she gets her friend Burgess Meredith, who is a guy with a bird for a head. Like a bird with wings, not just a bird's head,
like
his head is a full
bird
named Burgess Meredith. Yeah, it's like the funniest comic in the world.
I should probably buy that too.
Dude, you'd love it. And like they continue the awesome critical outrage for and against Gone. This one they call it Gone Hats Astronauts on the back. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna read these pull quotes. So you know how gross it is when you verp? Yeah, dude, it's like that, but with more hot sauce flavor up in your mouth. Bro dude Joseph, pale aleontologist of the stars. Hey guys, sorry about the last time, I was having a bad day, but why not try our Cran Rasbol Diet Snopple? Merryweather Tea Snopple, heir to the Snopple beverage fortune. Why would someone purposely make a piece of trashy garbage like this? It defies all logic and insults my family. Cornfelder P propeller top, leading exporter of corn and airplane propellers. Reading this was a worse experience than when I was trapped in the gas station bathroom with a superpowered chimpanzee. Man who died of superpowered chimpanzee wounds. Man, Snopple brand beverages sure are doing great. Why not invest in the company today? Meriwether T. Snopple, heir to the small beverage fortune. I actually really liked this book. No, seriously, I actually did. No joking at all here. It was the best experience ever. Yay. Painfully sarcastic zookeeper. And, look, I'm so sorry. Someone please help me. Please refuse. People refuse to buy Snopple beverages, and the company owes money to some very, very bad people. I'm afraid for my life. Meriwether T. Snopple, heir to the Snopple beverage fortune. So, this comic was designed specifically for me. Also, this panel is my favorite panel of the week, where the one character arrives home. And just says, "Honey, I'm home, and I've done brought you a basket of corn." And just carrying a basket of corn.
I saw you tweet.
I did, because I was like, "Oh, this is the best
comic." Or no, corn. Sorry, you grammed.
I Instagrammed it, but I linked that with my Twitter and my Facebook. Ooh. So,
how do you do that?
I use
with chains
technology. Yeah, with chains, exactly.
That's how you link things.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to talk about two books, quick, man, and leave my favorite for when we do our favorite
idea.
Or was that a spoiler?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Silver Surfer, issue 6, from Dan Slott and Michael Allred.
And this was not your favorite.
No, although it's still just as good. It's a total, like, one-and-done story where they're going through space, and then poor Don Greenwood gets hungry, so they stop at subspace for some submarine sandwiches.
Cool.
And then there's, like, a two-page thing where she just keeps pointing out that she has to stop to pee or eat because she's a human. And then some silliness happens. He takes her tonsils out at one point.
Okay.
And then she wants ice cream, so they go to this planet where everybody who lives on this planet is the number one at whatever their job is. Like, as in, the guy is the number one ice cream maker, and there's, like, the number one architect and stuff. And anyways, a banker gets mad, and then there's Warrior One, the ultimate soldier. That's pretty much it. And then they, like, fight, and then they leave. But it's cool, and it has a really cool last page where they watch some weird solar thing.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, this book is just really fun.
Cool.
And
cool.
You know who I like.
Why don't you just tell me?
Michael Allred.
Alright.
And the other book that I read that was on my favorite this week, but was also really good, was Nailbiter issue 6.
I bought the first trade this week.
Nice, it's good. Have you read it, right?
I read the first couple issues and I stopped because I wanted to read the trade. So right.
Well, I won't. Well, this is kind of like a weird. Kind of like a one shot almost. Okay. I don't even know what to say.
Is it in the news? So it must not be in the trade then.
I don't think so. No. Josh Williamson and art by Mike Henderson. It's definitely like a weird, like, there's like a couple main characters that show up. But it's like this weird kind of side story. I don't even know how to describe it. But it does have like a little 4-page short at the back about the actual, like, Warren the Nailbiter guy getting this guy to drop off some stuff in the middle of the night, and it turns out to be fingers because he wants a midnight snack.
It's
cool. And it's really creepy. And he has a lobster bib. But it's, once again, really good.
Can I get another lobster here? Come on!
No. but next issue, Brian Michael Bendis is guest starring.
Like, as a character?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's super weird.
How does that even make sense?
I don't know. Like, they just keep saying it in, like, the letters and
stuff. So Brian Michael Bendis is a character in the Nailbiter universe?
I'll show you what it says. Next issue is guest starring Brian Michael Bendis. Crazy, right? It's one of my favorite things I've ever done.
Weird. Okay.
It's a tribute issue to Powers number 7.
Huh. I don't remember Powers number 7. I've probably read it, but I don't remember it. I know I read it because I've read the first 7 or 8 trades of it.
I started on number 8.
It's really good.
I'm just kidding. I never read.
It's a good book.
I've only read issue 7.
You'd like it.
I've heard that, actually. I like Michael Avon. So
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
That, you just do a Dumb and Dumber impression? Yeah.
Because I had this weird... I was trying to figure out today how to do the joke of, like, and totally redeem yourself, but in reverse. Because my brother made a really excellent trade in fantasy football like a week ago, and then today made a really horrible one. So I was trying to figure out the reverse of himself. Yeah, okay, because he totally unredeemed himself, but I couldn't figure it out. So I just told him, guys, rape isn't cool, especially trade rape. That's a joke from the league.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
Not especially though. Like it's like the least form of rape.
Well, I'm going to hit some indie books. You've probably never heard of them.
I don't even know what indie means.
I'm into some stuff. It's pretty out there.
Is it Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
Indie.
So I got a package of books from Retrofit Big Planet Comics. And I'm going to talk about three of them.
Hmm.
The first one is a collection of short stories by Madeline Flores called Bear, Bird, and Stag Were Arguing in the Forest. And it's really good. Like, her art's really simple, and the story's like, the first story is like kind of like a fable about bear, bird, and stag are arguing in the forest, and it's almost like one of those just so stories where like why animals can't speak anymore and things like that. It's pretty funny.
This is gonna sound like really condescending and trivializing her talent, mm-hmm. but that kind of makes me like, I could draw a comic.
Yeah, no, it's very simple. It's very simple style, stuff, like, yeah. But like, it's more artistic and creative yeah. and like beautiful than 99.9% of the comics we talk about this show. Oh. The show,
and it's vastly really better than what I could do.
Yeah, but it's
I meant that in an encouraging way because it's I could draw a comic.
Encouraging yourself, even better.
I don't want to because I'm very untalented.
You are.
At things.
The next one was by Anne Emond, and it's called Debbie's Inferno, and it was really, really good. Like, it's sort of this girl. It's almost like a weird dream story where like this girl is in her own like subconscious with her cat, and she has to like travel through all the different sections of the brain and of her mind and her like insecurities and her anxieties and stuff. And I just thought it was a really, really, really good comic. And her art's really simple as well, but also like super beautiful. And I'd recommend this one even higher than the previous one. But I love this one, and I will read this one again for sure, again and again and again. And that's a 2014 release. That's pretty new. It only came out in like August, I think.
You and I noticed. You say like a lot.
Like a lot.
It came out right? Like.
I didn't know that I did that now.
Because you were like,
able to hear, so
you were like, but this is what you said. I like this. And I was like, said it again.
That's all I'm able to hear now. Well, anyway, so like, this is my next one. And like, it's like, the last one I have here is by Sam Alden, another new release, and it's called Wicked Chicken Queen. And like, each page is just like a one big panel drawing that there's a lot of stuff happening on it, so you can kind of read the page like a comic panel.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry.
God.
But but everybody does it. Like,
yeah.
Everybody
has a verbal tick, but mine is like, it's like.
So. But I feel like everybody has the verbal tick of saying like.
I guess. Anyway, so.
We're all Valley Girls at heart.
It's the story of this town and a girl who falls in love with this chicken that hatches out of an egg and it becomes their king and queen. And as time goes on, the chicken is more, has a longer lifespan, and eventually the chicken becomes like myth in this town. Like, it sounds crazy, and it is a little crazy, but it's really, really good. And it's all like pencils too. Like, it doesn't look like there's much inking going on here, if any. I don't 100% know what medium he's doing this in, but I really like Sam Alden's work, and this is his most recent release.
It did look very pencil-y. I don't even know what to say.
And then the last thing I have here is cool. the collection of Simon Hanselman's Mega Hex from Fantagraphics. And Simon Hanselman, if you haven't seen it, he's the guy who married comics at SPX this year. They had a ceremony and everything where he married comics, and is pretty. He like ends up making out with Gary Groth at the end. And he's just this really cool, weird Australian sort of alt cartoonist. And these are these stories that, at the beginning, they start off as kind of gag strips about these characters, Meg, Mog, and Owl, and just them getting high and being slackers and just pranking each other. And as it goes on, it becomes more and more like, there's still a lot, they're all still comics about these slacker, shiftless people playing horrible pranks on each other and just being awful and getting high. But it's more like, than anything, a comic about depression and like...
I'm sorry.
God damn it. here I am trying to bare my soul about depression.
I have noticed that you've been trying not to say it.
I have been, and then I fucked it up.
You're doing anyway, much better than that.
This is like a candidate for my book of the year, I think. I've read a few things now this year that would easily be in my top 10, but this is without question in my top 10.
I very much like the pictures.
Yeah, you should read it. It's really good. And some of the stuff is laugh out loud funny. There are a few panels that I read and was like laughing out loud, but some of the stuff is very funny. There's one story in particular where they drop acid together.
whoa, I don't want to read it now.
Which made me... But there's a bunch of stuff, like some of it's horrible, but like funny horrible. And there's actually a strip called Meg's Depression. That's one of the most like powerful pieces of art I've ever read. But the story where they take acid together and then Owl ends up having sex with their friend Johnny Wolfman. And it's pretty crazy. yeah. And like because Meg and Mog go back into her room to like try and like settle down on their bad trip because Meg keeps seeing skeletons, and then when they come back out, Owl's in a dress and a wig, and then like Johnny Wolfman is just like, do you have any lube? Here we go, we'll use Meg's chapstick. And it's just like, but and then the colors in the sequence are all psychedelic because they're all on acid.
I like the color.
And then like all of a sudden Satan shows up and Owl's like, Satan, I knew it, I told you. Mm-hmm. And then they melt because they're obviously on acid. And then, so are you and Werewolf Jones officially gay now? Yeah, you two dating? No! And technically it wasn't gay. Owl was dressed as a woman. Ugh, shut up! Can we just not? Anyway, I recommend this book because it's deceptively simple. Like, you can look at it. I feel like there are certain people who would read this. I feel this book reminds me a bit of something in the nature of Spring Breakers, where you could read it as
like
the people,
Spring
like Spring Breakers. That's why I said in the nature of, like, fuck. That the people who this comic is not even mocking, but it's more just like a commentary on a certain type of lifestyle, type of people, and specifically battles with depression and stuff. But you could see people watching Spring Breakers who are those idiot Spring Break kids and thinking the first half of the movie was really awesome. And then before they realize what's happened, they've gone into the second part of the movie. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay, so this analogy is way too on you. But anyway.
Liken it to a movie that I'm familiar with. Like, let's say
G.I.
Star
Joe
Wars.
2.
Oh my god, yes, please. Retaliation.
So you'd be like, yeah, I'm into the military industrial complex. Then you see G.I.
Very.
Joe, and you're like, leave it north. This analogy doesn't work.
And then I was like, why are the ninjas fighting on the cliff? And then I came.
Yeah, like, who cares?
And then I came.
Well,
so
let's
hard.
Make this a short episode and get. Oh no, let's do a top 10 first. There's
cool.
A Newsarama list.
Is it a decent
It's
one?
Not even a stupid list, but I think it might just be interesting to talk about. So they have their top 10 pre New 52 comic stories that the Warner Brothers should animate and turn into an animated movie. So let's take a look at their list. We'll evaluate them.
How many do you think that I've read out of 10?
I don't. Actually, you've read 2.
There's an outside chance of 1, I bet.
Let's say 2. I'm going to say 2. I believe. Yeah. Number 10 is Batgirl Year 1.
I've read.
Batgirl Year 1 is awesome. It's actually really good, yeah.
Who does it?
Chuck Dixon, Marcos Martin, and Scott something or other. Beatty. Scott Beatty. Bender, if you bark, don't do it. Don't do it, you son of a bitch. Don't. Oh, you piece of shit. Number 9, Gotham by Gaslight. Gotham by Gaslight was an Elseworlds book that Mike Mignola did the artwork with.
Oh, I heard of
that. P. Craig Russell as well. It's quite good. Bender, shut up. But it's like, it's 1889 Gotham City.
Yeah.
Where you've Jack the Ripper, basically.
Cool.
It's good. The Long Halloween.
I've read that. I've read
that. One. Yeah, that was my favorite Batman story for a long time.
It's
so.
Very,
Bender,
very
shut
cool.
The fuck up. Stupid dog.
I'm actually kind of shocked they never done an animated.
Yeah, I agree. Actually.
And I feel like that you could, like, if you got the right animators, that could be really cool. Like a really pulpy.
Like a Tim Sale-y
style,
yeah. Then they have formerly known as the Justice League, which is a graphic novel miniseries that Keith Giffen and James DeMatteis did with Kevin Maguire, bringing back their run on Justice League International.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a second one as well. I don't know what it was called. There was a second one after this as well. No, whatever. It's really funny because it's
formerly
one of my favorite runs.
Is it the artist formerly known?
Yeah, I wish. It's one of my favorite Justice League runs as well, Justice League International, because I love that candy because it's really funny. It's like a light comedic Justice League. Mm-hmm. Sinestro, Coral War, that's where I always say Geoff Johns peaked and everything since then has been downhill.
I never read that. Yeah.
Batman Nightfall?
I've never read that. Everybody seems to like that, but it's always like the people, it's like the DC like nut huggers that like it.
Yeah, I don't really like that era of Batman. I like Kelly Jones' art, but I just, I don't care about Nightfall.
Yeah.
The Killing Joke, that is kind of obvious.
I don't think I've ever read The Killing
Joke.
That
is probably my favorite Batman story.
Really? I've never, I know what it's about.
Superman Red Sun, that one would also work. That was one of the first.
Isn't that Mark Millar?
It is Mark Millar, yeah. One of the Elseworlds comics. It's really good.
Yeah.
Then they've got, come on, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I've never read.
I don't know how well that would work as a movie though, because it's so continuity dependent.
I was gonna say, isn't it like you have to have it pretty like a pretty good knowledge of.
And last one they have is Kingdom Come.
Never read it. That's Alex Ross and
you
Mark Waid though.
Kingdom Come.
I love Kings and I love
Kingdom Come. Is really really good. All right, well let's skip the song and go into our favorites.
I was hoping that they'd be like Tower of Babel and I'd be like they did that but kind of because what is it, Justice League Doom
I think?
I don't know, but it's like it's not so much as nobody can understand what people are saying as much as it is Batman has contingency plans. That's what the
I've had Chinese copy of that trade for like 3 years.
It's I think I bought it on Comixology because I had like some credit on there and it's good. It's really good. Sure. Well, it's Mark Waid, yeah. So.
Well, anyway.
I mean, does he ever do anything bad?
It's time for our favorites. Want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
My favorite is a comic that you will love, by the way.
I saw you tweeting about this.
You will love this comic.
I saw you...
I did tweet about this. And I Instagram.
Per-tweeted about this. I saw you like per-tweeting. My favorite this week...
Like, drop the bit, just get off the...
Is Men of Wrath. Number one by Jason Aaron and Ron Garney.
I like Ron Garney.
I really like Ron Garney. And this is like some of the best Ron Garney stuff I've seen. It's really good. And Jason Aaron, I don't know, Jason Aaron can't really do any wrong for me lately. There is a bit, like,
I mean,
the main character's name.
Yeah, for me.
Wow, yeah. The main character's name is R-A-T-H, Wrath,
so
which is,
stupid.
Once again, on the nose. And I'm the person who got mad about Adam.
I remember.
And in that fucking book with the stupid fucking name. But this, I don't know, this is weird. Like, this didn't bother me. Maybe because I'm actually reading the book and I have, like, that predisposition to actually enjoy it because I like Jason Aaron so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. I've been using all these big words now, and now I feel the pressure to keep doing it.
Yeah, you're like
farts,
really smart.
Farts. So anyways, it's just like a fun, I don't know if it'd be a crime story, I guess. I mean, there's killing.
it's about an assassin, isn't it? That's a crime.
Yeah, more or less. Like,
killing people is a crime.
It's 100% about that. I don't know. It's
against the law.
Yeah, but it's not, like, there seems to be no dealing with the legal ramifications of the fact that he's a hitman. I don't know. He's not the best there is, the best there ever will be, though.
That's part of the hitman heart.
True. Anyways, cool. Yeah, I don't know. It's I really liked it. I know some people have been less enthusiastic about it. The best way I can think of to describe it is like a kind. It's kind of like a more violent, darker Southern Bastards pre the very last, the last couple pages of issue 4, I think, of Southern Bastards. Like the first 3.5 issues of Southern Bastards. It's like because it's Southern set and all that stuff, but. Yeah, I don't know. Mind you, Southern Bastards takes like a really dark turn at the end.
Yep,
but
that was great though.
And this is just like, this is dark from the beginning.
Well, my comic is not dark, not even a little bit. Mine is Fight Frogs by Jimmy Giegrich.
Hey, who turned out the lights? It's real dark here.
So, basically, the first page has this intro paragraph: centuries after the fall of humankind, roving gangs of animal men rule the earth, fighting day in and day out over small pieces of territory in the wasteland. This is their story. And then the Fight Frogs wake up after a crazy hot dog party the night before. There's carnage. And basically, you remember the Battletoads?
Yep.
This is basically like a ridiculous version of the Battletoads. Like,
I was going to say, it even like looks like
the character is Scuzz, Crud, and Gorp. And Gorp is like the giant hulking one who only says Gorp. Gorp, rather. And so when they walk out of their cave after after their crazy rad night the night before, they see that someone has vandalized their cave, and they've written, "Fart frogs suck, dick ducks are the masters."
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so they're all, so they go to find the dick ducks, but they ride on these cool, like, skateboards. The ultra tough, they're called the Mega Sweet Ultra Tough Ultra Mega Dank Fight Frogs Ultra Boards. And on the bottom of it, they get 75 borbs per door, if you know what I'm saying. And it was, plus I drew cool stuff on them, and it shows a skateboard. It's a hamburger with like a knife going through it, a skull that says ham murder. Anyway, so they go and find the dick ducks. And the rest of the comic is almost like a huge fight between the dick ducks and the fight frogs, including this extended sequence where Gorp and... what's the name of the big... And Grundle, who is like the big Hulk from the Dick Ducks, have a flex-off.
So basically, it's a West Side Story.
Oh, yeah, totally. But there's this page where Grundle flexes so hard that another arm with a bicep pops out of his bicep. And then on the next page, Gorp starts flexing so hard that like biceps come out of his eyes. And then the last thing, Gorp flexes so hard we get this double-page spread. Where the words "party forever" spell out on his chest in veins. And then in the attempt to outdo that, Grundle tries as well and ends up spelling this.
Homework
his
rules.
Chest is homework rules. And then like this beat where they all stop and it's like, "Homework rules, are you crazy? Yeah, homework rules butts," and that's like all. And then they have a rumble for the next few pages. And so oh, then after they defeated the dick ducks, they decide, although it comes after a good rumble, hot dogs! And then there's literally a part where one of the characters rips the top of his head off and shoves hot dogs into his brain. And then, like, at the end, there's, like, the neon newts crash through the wall and tell them that they're here to wreck their shit, and it says, "to be continued." And then there's an ad for the action figures, and then there's, like, a little thing at the end where the two dick ducks whose heads got mashed together and launched across the thing discover, like, these other guys in front of them, and I'm pretty sure they're, like, street sharks. So I can only hope and pray to any gods or gods that may be listening that Jimmy Gingrich makes more Fight Frogs, but... this is a contender for my favorite comic of the year.
So did you buy that online?
Yeah, I kickstarted it.
Ah.
But you can still get it from his website. It's like 12 or 13 bucks or something. But
I might have to think about it.
You'd love it, dude.
I might have to think
about it. I read it and immediately went to his website and bought his other comic. Yeah. I was like, I must have everything this man does.
You were like, and then you were like, I just can't quit you.
I just can't quit.
Hey, have you seen Tusk?
It hasn't come out yet.
Sure it has.
Not in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it came out in Canada today, but only in four cities. So Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, and somewhere else.
Winnipeg, probably, because it's...
And then it's going to, yeah, and then it's going to hopefully expand. But I'm dying to see it. It looks amazing.
Yeah, and I heard that it like kind of bombed financially. But,
well, not really.
Well, I did see that.
It already had made its money back before the production even started.
And,
so,
and he secured the financing for Clerks 3 because of...
Yeah, and he's already almost finished filming Yoga Hosers. So.
Which I feel like... could be a little bit of a sleeper hit, if only because you could just be like Johnny Depp.
Yeah, and like it sounds that like name's... it's going to have rubber monsters in it and stuff. Like,
I'm kind of more into that movie than I am Tusk.
I'm really into Tusk just because like I think it sounds amazing, and I love that story, and I love Michael Parks and everything, and I also love weird horror movies. So.
I like Michael Parks in Red State because it's just like big blustery Michael Parks, which is amazing. And this
like
that's exactly
doing,
yeah.
Right, so.
Which if he just keeps getting Michael Parks to play that role, please do it. I can't wait for Moose Jaws though.
Yeah, Moose Jaws. So he's got three movies already on the queue that have been, he's already got financing for.
Mm.
So, and four in fact, because he's doing that other one called Comes the Krampus that's going to be an anthology film. So he's got four more movies.
Doesn't he have the other one about like the devil?
That's, oh yeah, that was the other one
where the devil
in a handbasket or something that he did with Edumacation Andy, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like Helena, like the name, or like Helena Montana.
Yeah, I don't know if that one has financing yet, but he has financing for Tusk, which is done. Yoga Hosers, which is almost done. Clerks 3 and Moose Jaw is already lined up.
I just can't wait for Moose Jaws because I love Moose Jaw.
Apparently, he might shoot some of Moose Jaws before they go back to finish Yoga Hosers.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I just want to see Moose Jaws. I hope it's set in Moose Jaw. Please.
Seems like the logical place to set it.
Mm-hmm. It's weird because Tusk is set in like Manitoba. That's like the weirdest thing in
There's
the world. And also, he's on the Chris Jericho podcast.
Who is
Kevin Smith?
Oh, Kevin? Oh,
yeah. I think it's a two-parter. and they talk about like Manitoba because like I'm from Winnipeg, you
Manitoba.
Idiot. Manitoba. You've seen that clip, right?
Yeah, I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot.
But it's like, it's weird. Like, I mean, Kachanko's podcast is okay, but he kind of lobs softballs.
He has a good guest, yeah.
Yeah, he's really good with wrestling guests, but when it's not wrestling guests, it's kind of, eh. But he's good with Kevin Smith because they have like this weird rapport where it's like they've just met, but they're like so friendly with each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I haven't listened to Jericho in a while. I'm trying to remember the last one I did. Like, the last wrestling pod I listened to was the Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mick Foley.
Which is really, really good. There's one, there's, I have a Stone Cold one that I still have to listen to that's like Dave Lagana, who's like, is it Dave Lagana? It's one of the former writers. And I'm always interested when like former WWE writers do it, because like, in a weird way, I'm more interested in the writing process of WWE than I am the actual shows.
Yeah, and you want people who aren't working there anymore, because they can actually talk about it.
Right? Like how, there was a guy that, like in the past week did like kind of like, I hate the term, but did like a shoot video, and he's a former writer, and he basically like, he was like, oh yeah, when you're writing the shows, you're not writing the shows thinking, will the audience like this, will this get more exposure,
like this?
It's 100% you write for Vince in whatever mood he's in when you're writing, only to be told when you hand it in to him that he's not, like, he's not in that mood anymore, and that it's garbage. It's like, that's a fucking, that job's, like, working for that company seems so fucking weird, and, like,
it's a weird company.
Vince McMahon seems crazy.
Like,
he apparently sleeps, like, 2 to 3 hours a night, and that's it.
Really?
Yeah, he, like, doesn't sleep. He'll work out.
How weird is it that, like, when Triple H takes over for good, it's going to be like the best thing that ever happened.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
Because it's just going to be like NXT becomes the show.
Yeah, it's going to be like, you guys like Kevin Steen? Kenta?
<I do. laughs> He had Hornswoggle on.
Did he?
Yeah, after Kev.
That, I'm kind of into that just because Hornswoggle is a huge Newfound Glory fan. Like, huge. Like, has a signed guitar on his wall. Like, it's
his new episode
thing.
Is with Aza Akira, who's an adult film star apparently.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
the
oh, I know.
Boys on too.
Oh,
recently.
I know.
I don't
I have the one with Cody and Dusty Rhodes.
Dude, there's one with a Bigfoot Hunter on here.
Yeah, he has a weirdest guest because he has lots of like rock guys.
Yeah, like Ace Frehley. He did two episodes with Batista and two with Triple H recently.
The Batista one is really good.
Is it?
Really good.
Did you do the Triple H one?
Yeah, listen to the Triple H. I don't know. I think Batista
one's good.
Yeah, I listened to the Triple H one.
Does Batista talk about how, like, his return was weird?
Yeah, but then he also, like, he's, like, he seems actually like he's, like, a smart enough guy to be like, I know it's not, like, all me, it's the way it was done.
Yeah.
And it absolutely, and the fact that
Batista's
it was, like,
fault. I like
no.
Batista.
And I totally think that when he comes back, he's going to get a big face pop. Like,
no, when he comes back,
because
when he comes back, and they're not hoping for Daniel Bryan, it'll be fine.
And but like, I like also just like Guardians was a huge movie.
That's true.
And he's really good in it.
He is
like
really
he's good. Really good. And I think that made him. A
I just
more
think
endearing.
That people would have been happy had he not won the Rumble and had he not been the dirty entrant. Like nobody wanted him. It was had he come out like second.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, everyone would have popped. If he'd still won, they wouldn't have popped as much. But at that point, nobody but Brian would do, and people were outraged.
Yeah. Well, it was like, was it the year before? No, it was Rey Mysterio was number 30 this year, right? Rey Mysterio was number 30.
Batista was 29.
Yeah, that's what it was. Because I was going to say, there was one year when Rey Mysterio was 30th, and everybody, like, shit on him. But it was this year. Because,
yeah,
like, they shit on Rey, too. Like, who cares? Because he's hurt
well,
9 months out of 12.
Anyway,
I don't
well,
know.
We managed to hit wrestling in the last 5 minutes. So
Gator Slater.
Gator Slater is the best thing in wrestling.
I know.
Right now. I love
Gator
Slater.
Gator is, like, my two
oh
most
my
favorite, like, under, like, not even,
oh,
like, the under the undercard performers.
Gator Slater and the Stardust Brothers and everything's so awesome.
Their podcast, apparently, is really good. I haven't listened to
it
yet.
Their podcast?
Well, they're one with Jericho.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I see money in Titus O'Neil.
I do, too.
He was on NX Titus lately, is what he was calling it. It's amazing.
Eventually, they've got to see something in him, right? Like,
the only,
he's got the look that Vince loves, too.
I know,
right?
like,
he's a
big
meathead.
Huge, and he can actually, like, wrestle a little bit. Though I think the big thing, though, is that he's, like, in his mid-30s. Because he played college football against Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning's, like, 38, so...
Mm. Okay.
Minimum, he's like 34.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week here on the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup. We will be back next week.
The probably. Like comics, like Roundup. Like,
and maybe Rob will be back. I don't know. Who knows?
Oh,
who
knows? We forgot to mention where Rob is. He's farting.
He's farting. He's riding around on a fart car.
He's in Fardo, North Dakota.
Fardo, North Dakota. That's a good one. I like that, yeah.
That, because Fargo.
Yeah.
It's a city.
All right. Love you.
Oh, Farg and Fart.
In 3 seconds, it'll be exactly 60 minutes. Ready? And jump.
Bye.